the obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you like the format this year? Is this the best way to finish it? Everybody starts even. What are your thoughts on that whole setup?
Yeah, I mean, I guess no more sandbagging for me at the end of the year. I was not a huge fan of the starting strokes format. I was a fan of the points format, but I understand why people wanted to move away from that, with, you know, FedEx being a huge sponsor and having to give out two trophies at the end of the week and explaining the season-long race. And this, to me, is a much simpler format to end the year. And in order to qualify for this championship, you have to have a great year. To be one of the 30 best players on our tour and make it to this tournament is an extreme accomplishment. And, you know, one of the things people may pick apart is, well, some guys can win the season-long race without winning a tournament until the tour championship. And, you know, I would argue making the tour championship without winning a tournament is a pretty cool accomplishment.
Scottie Scheffler on the changes to the format for the tour championship, which begins this morning. 803-0550 is the phone number. Brian Koziel joins the show now. It's Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. Jeremy White is off today. Good morning, Brian.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning. The what are the changes to the tour championship? So they're not doing the thing anymore, or are they? With the you start with a lead if you've been winning lately?
Yeah, so it's in terms of the actual tournament itself, and you heard Scottie Scheffler there mention it a little bit. There's the last handful of years they went with a staggered scoring system. So because Scottie Scheffler, who of course won again last week, comes in number one in FedEx Cup points, he would have started this week's tournament at minus 10. Rory McIlroy second, he would have started at minus 8, and then third at minus 7, and so on, and then all the way down to the guy at 30 who would have started at even par. And the reason they made that switch was that they used to have it where everybody started at even, and you'd have this tournament going, and, you know, somebody obviously would be in the lead, but it wouldn't necessarily equate to them winning the overall FedEx Cup championship. So you kind of almost had two leaderboards to follow at the same time. And it was confusing to fans. And they're like, well, you know, this guy wins the tour championship, but the event itself, but then maybe doesn't win the overall FedEx Cup title that is on the line and the big money prize. So to avoid that confusion, they said, well, hey, if you have all these points, we'll do a staggered scoring system, and that'll make it easier to follow. Now you just have to follow the leaderboard. And, you know, it didn't really give the best of drama. We had a lot of kind of one-sided affairs where the guy in the lead, including Scheffler, would kind of just run away with it. It's, you know, some of these players would be starting 10 shots back. Like, it's pretty tough to catch up. So now the PGA Tour has said, okay, we're going to pay out some points, we're going to pay out based upon points, but we're also going to pay out for this tournament, but we don't want to have it where necessarily, like, there's two things to follow. So to make it less confusing, they're just saying everybody's at even, just like a normal tournament would be. The person that wins this tournament is the FedEx Cup champion. However, if Scottie Scheffler doesn't win this week, you're still going to get rewarded with some money. So the money for the season race in points and the money within this tournament, they're kind of like splitting it a little bit up a little bit more evenly. So Scheffler will still be rewarded with monetarily with some big time money if for some reason he doesn't win this week.
Okay. I think, Brian, all of this could be easier if we just decided to do like a match play bracket format where, you know, like, to me,
Scheffler gets like a first round bye.
Yeah. Or hear me out. Somebody tweeted this the other day after the BMW, Brian, and it was, how about Scottie has to give the field 10 strokes to see if he can come back and beat the field? And, you know, the way Scottie's playing at this point, Brian, it's probably not out of the question he might come back and win.
Yeah, that would be entertaining. Put him at even.
Yes.
Put the 30th guy at 10 under. Let's see if he can go catch him. Entertaining for sure. Yeah, I mean, it would. Your match play idea is something that it has been tossed around for sure. And I know, I mean, it wouldn't be that difficult to change. You could make a bracket of 32 very easily. I mean, they have 30. Or, you know, as you said, maybe give the top two seeds buys if you wanted to keep it at 30 and have a bracket from there. I mean, it would be very, very fun for people to even, you know, fill that out, maybe have a little bit of a pool on the side if you wanted to engage more people in the season-ending event. I mean, that's something that maybe people would want to participate in. But, I mean, in the end here, now that it's even, Scheffler's going to be rewarded for his season and his points. But, you know, now he's got to go out and beat the field straight up, which he still is an extremely heavy favorite. I mean, I think I saw he was plus 185 to win this week. I mean, that's closing in on kind of Tiger territory when he was in his heyday. And there's been a lot of comparisons with Tiger and Scotty over the last few weeks because he's just been playing so great. There's some stats that he looks close to what Tiger did over his first, you know, what, you know, now Scheffler's played 148 PGA Tour events. There's some that are close. There's some that are still just not, that Tiger is just still by far and away leaps and bounds ahead. But, you know, we've had these moments where when Rory kind of went on a run when he was younger, we're like, ooh, could he be the next Tiger? Jordan Spieth kind of did the same. Could he be the next Tiger? Ultimately, they fell back, you know, and Scotty probably has surpassed what McIlroy and Spieth at least initially did in the first, you know, half dozen or so years of their career, that we could even start making comparisons that probably still, in some sense, maybe are a little unfair to do so anyway.
Right. It feels like now he's put this run together where it's been long enough where it kind of feels like this is Scheffler, right? Like, this level of dominance is going to be the case. It's going to happen for years. I don't know how long, but you mentioned the odds, Brian. He's the biggest favorite at a PGA event since Tiger in 2009. This weekend, when Woods was even money to win the 2009 Tour Championship, and that's any PGA Tour event. So, like, you sent us a graphic in the break about this, like how close they are in wins and top tens. Scheffler hasn't, by the way, finished outside the top 10 since the Players Championship.
It's crazy.
I've got on his tour page.
And for reference, down four strokes at the BMW last week to start that round against Robert Mack, he was plus money to win four strokes down with 18 to play.
Yeah. So, like,
crazy.
I don't know if what we're watching is 50% of what Tiger did or 60% of what Tiger was doing, but it, to me, feels like we've definitely reached a point where this is the best we've seen since Tiger.
I agree. And I think those percentages that you threw out there are probably, if we were going to try to throw a percentage on it, I think the 50 to 60 is probably a fair number. Just, you know, if you look at the number of wins that Scotty has at this point in his career versus what Tiger has had in terms of tournament played, majors win, it's exactly 50%. Scotty has four through this many starts in his career. Tiger had eight as of this moment. But the top tens and the top fives are actually decently close to Tiger. So it shows that Scotty's been super, super consistent. And that's the one thing that we've, you know, when we've been trying to make comparisons to other players, unfairly so, with Spieth and with McIlroy and some of the other guys, is that they just haven't been consistent. You know, and Scotty doesn't have the cuts made streak that Tiger did, but he's as consistent as anybody since Tiger over a prolonged stretch. It's super impressive. I mean, even Tiger would admit the field and the PGA Tour now, if you go 1 through 150, is definitely deeper and higher quality at the back end than it was when Tiger was. Just as we would say the same thing when we were comparing Tiger to Jack Nicklaus. Like, you know, the fields were deeper for Tiger than they were for Jack. But, you know, right now what Scheffler's doing, it's pretty amazing. And, you know, I think, Joe, when you were on at Tri-County with us on TD Green, it's funny because, you know, Kevin and I even were talking about a little bit more last week, Kevin Sylvester on part of our team, how Scotty still might not be the number one draw on tour. We still think McIlroy, in terms of eyeballs and gallery size, still maybe is the most polarizing figure, which obviously, you know, Tiger had that times a billion. There's no comparison percentage-wise to that. When Tiger played, all sports eyeballs were on him. The galleries were the biggest by far. You know, Scheffler's just kind of steady. His I think, lure is his steadiness and his appreciation and maybe his approach to the game. I'm impressed with a guy that seems kind of just so calm, cool, and collective of how he's able to dominate so well.
Is there any reason to think anybody else, like, if, let me not put it that way. If you had to pick somebody to beat him this weekend, who would you pick?
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I mean, there's only 30. There's only 29 others. So, yeah,
right.
I mean,
smaller field.
McElroy, obviously, yeah. McElroy, obviously, talented enough to do it any week when he's on his game. You know, players that have been playing really well as of late. I know this probably wouldn't be a top pick, but Justin Rose seems like every single time he's about to putt that it's going to go in. Bad news for the U.S. Ryder Cup team, because I feel like Rose is going to be another pain in the you-know-what when you're rooting for the U.S. in this event. He's been really, really good down the stretch. I'm curious to see what some of these younger guys that have kind of come up this year, if, you know, how they handle the pressure of this event this week. Like a guy like J.J. Spaun, who's had a really, really good year. Can he play well in maybe one of his biggest tournaments of his life here so far? He's been really entertaining to watch. And even I'm interested to watch Keegan Bradley, who's had a really good year. This is his last opportunity individually to maybe make that case for picking himself for the event, for the Ryder Cup, a month from now. I know still, you know, on the record weeks ago, he still said, well, I need to get into the top six. Well, it is not going to happen for that.
Yeah.
So would you still make him a captain's pick? Ultimately, I think he should. But he says, you know, being a captain and being a player, like, that might be something that might be difficult to do.
Can that top six still change for the Ryder Cup next month? Like, is
Ben,
there...
Ben Griffin still, I think, has a route to six, right?
I know Justin Thomas, I know, is right there. And it's DeChambeau at the end, right? And I think, is he done getting points because he's playing on live?
And DeChambeau's in, right?
Yeah, I think that the top five might mathematically already be unable to be caught.
Mm-hmm.
Qualified wise, so yeah, there could be a flip like 6, 7, 8 kind of area, but I believe Bradley is 11 in points, so I don't think that
looking
coming
at
in
yeah 11th.
He can't jump into that automatic, so he's going to have to essentially pick himself to do so. And you know, there's a lot of guys that have had good years on the PGA Tour this year that are on the American side, but there's also a lot of what you'd say uncertainty and inexperience and would-be Ryder Cup rookies. You've got, like, Andrew Novak.
Yep.
Nate mentioned Ben Griffin, Maverick McNealy. Like, these aren't household names that maybe have played in a pressure spot like this, which will be interesting to see. Like, a guy like Colin Morikawa, who I think is seventh, he has really, I think, not had a really, you know, Morikawa-esque season, but probably will get taken just because of his name and his experience and the fact that he's a two-time major winner and he's, you know, played in Ryder Cups before and he's handled it. You know, him, Thomas, some of these other bigger names, like, you wonder how much more of the experience factor are they going to want here versus taking the younger, essentially Ryder Cup rookie player that maybe has actually had the better season overall.
How, like, to you then, Brian, if you are Keegan Bradley and you are between, you know, say, Justin Thomas or Ben Griffin, how important do you think the last 15 holes for Ben Griffin last week were at the BMW, considering the whole thing afterwards about he took creatine and had the shakes and went triple-double bogey, 6 over to start and finished 1 under on the round? It was, if outside of Scotty chipping that one in on 17, the talk of the day was how resilient and really, like, what an incredible performance it was from Ben Griffin considering the start he had on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder, okay, if that got to him at that moment, what's it going to be like when there's 50,000 people at Bethpage Black going bonkers when his name is introduced? I mean, you've heard stories from these Ryder Cup guys that have played in many, many of them that say there's nothing like the Ryder Cup. There's nothing like that first tee. I mean, could he shank his drive? You know, probably
sure.
Not. I'm going a little extreme here, but yeah, I mean, you got it. I guess my thought is, you know, not to maybe say Ben Griffin specifically, but how many of the Ben Griffins do you want? And I mean, McNealy, Novak, you know, how many of them do you want to take? I feel like ultimately in the end, I mean, this is probably the safe answer, but you want to grab a mix of the Thomases and the Morikawas, and then you also maybe want to take two or three of these young guys. Now, Spaun, who definitely earns to be there with how he played this year, he's going to be playing for the first time. So, like, you also have to look in that top group and say, well, You know, we've already got one that's already in already. Like, how many more of the, quote, rookie guys do you want to take? For me, the U.S., who ultimately, you know, in my lifetime has underperformed in the Ryder Cup, I'm willing to give it a little bit more shot in terms of maybe taking these guys. Hey, let's see if they thrive in this sort of event. Let's see if they raise their game. To me, we've seen Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah.
We've seen, you know, that second crew down there. Tony Finau is not going to be, like, we know those guys, while they're likable and they're household names maybe in some sense, some of these guys, if Keegan Bradley went up there and said, Ben Griffin had a better season than Colin Morikawa, so he gets it. Like, I'm not going to sit there and say it's a bad decision, because the U.S., in the end, on paper, 1 through 12, I think is going to look less deep anyway, regardless of who they pick. I mean, Europe's captain's picks are going to be like Fitzpatrick and Rahm and Rose,
yeah,
and, like, you know, they're gonna 1 through 12, I think, look deeper on paper.
Brian Koziol on the Western Hotline. Brian, where's TD Green this week?
We're at Glen Oak, and looking forward to actually kind of picking up with this conversation. So Tim Freeze from Glen Oak, PGA pro and owner. He's a big part of he's on the Northeast board for the PGA of America. We're going to talk a lot about the Ryder Cup. And even, you know, I'm sure there are people in Western New York that are going to be going to Bethpage, so we're going to talk a little bit logistics about it and everything. And then next week's our last show of the season. We'll be at Golf Dojo. So two TD Greens left, Saturday, 7 to 8. Appreciate everybody that's listened all season long. We love doing the show. We love going, you know, to courses and golf facilities all across Western New York. And thanks to you guys. I know you guys pump it up on the morning show a lot. So thanks again for all that. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. And we'll be listening Saturday.
Okay. Thanks again. Have a good week.
Brian Koziol on the Western Hotline. Yeah, Tee to Green, 7 a.m. on Saturday. Be listening, and we'll be locked in as we roll towards the Ryder Cup. And Scheffler being almost even money to win the tournament this weekend is nuts. So we'll see if he's able to hold up to that. 803-0550 is the phone number. Lou DiBiase coming up at 7. 14 teams in 14 days today. We're going to talk about the Eagles, who the Bills see late in the year, week 17. So that's coming up at 7. Stay tuned. Jeremy's off today. Nate Geary is in, and this is WGR.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.